Hallelujah. So praise God. Yes, that church picnic is coming up real quick on us here on the 24th. And so I want to remember that. And, you know, Daryl and Charlie, okay, those two gentlemen are coordinating, and we need help, okay? We need those that will help with transporting the things that we need to transport. You know, it's a lot of work involved. There's a lot of work involved. And come and enjoy it. But realize that there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, right? Transport the grill, we transport the food and everything else. And so it doesn't need to fall upon just a handful, okay? So would you see them and say, yes, I'll help. And then they'll know to call you and contact you, tell you what's the drill, okay? So praise God. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. I've got another announcement to make right here, and you know, we've got coming up on as fast as the day of Pentecost. That is on June the 8th, will be the day of Pentecost. We're going to have a Holy Spirit celebration. I'll give you about two guesses about what I'm going to talk on, all right? You know, I love the Holy Spirit. And you ought to love the Holy Spirit and let Him have His way. But I felt this in my heart that we need to have a series of breakthrough prayer meetings, a push in the Spirit, a push in the Spirit. And so that's what we're going to do. Now, you know, on the day of Pentecost, that Sunday, you know, that was when the Spirit of the Lord was poured out. It was the celebration of the harvest. Well, we're going to proclaim a harvest on that day. We're going to proclaim harvest on that day. But we're going to put in the work, all right? We're going to put in the work before we can proclaim the harvest. So we're going to have a series of prayer meetings. These prayer meetings are going to be on Sunday evening, and they will be from 4 to 5 o'clock, from 4 to 5 o'clock. Now, let me give you a little bit of the schedule of it here. We're going to start today. That may sound like, oh, goodness. Now, listen, you've got plans or whatever. This come up quick. If you've got plans, don't you worry about it. You know, you go on and do what you need to do. Now, but I'm gonna blame Brother Dennis back here. It's his fault. Okay, raise your hand, Dennis, so everybody see who you are. All right, it's his fault. Okay, Dennis and I were talking, and I told him what I had on my heart, and he said, well, let's do it. And I said, well, yeah. I said, but, you know, this Sunday is Mother's Day. And he says, I'll be there. All right. So anyway, so I appreciate brothers. Dennis is heart. And I said, okay, brother, we're going to do there. Dennis and me will be here. Okay. So now, again, you know, no pressures here. You know, this come up quick. If you can be here and you want to be here and can be here, then be here. All right. And this is our agenda. It's going to be our agenda. And you don't have to worry about remembering this because we're going to go over for the hour. We're going to break it up in quarters. And the first quarter is going to be praying over our miracle prayer table, our prayer requests. The second one's going to be for the power of the Holy Spirit. The third quarter of it's going to be a prayer for the salvation of souls. And then the last one will be a prayer for our brethren. A prayer for our brethren. Now, here is the kicker. All right, so this is the 11th. And then next Sunday is the 18th. I'm calling for the men of the church only to be here for those two Sundays. All right? The men of the church. We're going to start with putting forth our leadership. We're going to be leaders, right? Our men in the Lord. And so this Sunday, again, if you've got plans, don't you think another thing about it now. Don't you think another thing about it. All right? You go do whatever you need to do. Don't feel guilty about it, that you're missing anything in any way. All right, that's this Sunday, the men of the church. And then the 18th, that's next Sunday. That'll be for the men of the church as well. Then on May the 25th and on June the 1st will be for everyone. All right, ladies and all, and all on May the 25th, that Sunday night from 4 to 5 will be for everyone. June the 1st, that Sunday night, will be for everyone. And then we'll be gathering together on June the 8th, and that is the celebration of the day of Pentecost, right? And we're going to have great expectations. Everybody say amen. 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 Hallelujah. Okay, there we go. All right. And I'll speak more of that as we go along. All right. Glory to God. I'd like for you to go to Judges, if you would. I want you to go to Judges chapter 4. And what the Lord put on my heart is Deborah, a mother in Israel. Deborah, a mother in Israel. Now, first thing I want to say is that this isn't simply a Mother's Day message. You know, this is a message from the Lord. The Lord gave it to me, spoke it to me, and it's for all of us and to take to heart. It's just not the celebration of moms, all right? So I want you to know that. But at the same time, I want you to see that what God did with two women, our heroes in the word of the Lord over what was taking place at this time. And that was Deborah, and Deborah was a prophetess, and she was one who was judging in Israel. God raised her up as a prophetess at that particular moment in time. And not only was it Deborah, but Jael. Jael was the wife of Heber, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But those are our two heroines in this story. You know, it's one thing to say, oh, yeah, you know, Deborah, that's, you know, and they all loved her, and they all respected her, and they respected the spirit that was upon her. They came to her, and they looked for judgments from the hand of God, because they knew that she walked with God. And this is who Deborah was. But it's another thing to think that, oh, my goodness, that you're going to have a great victory here over a great oppressor. And that's what was going on. King Jabin of the Canaanites controlled Israel at that particular point in time. And then there was Sisera. Sisera was his commanding general. And Sisera, it says in the word of the Lord that he oppressed Israel severely. And so they were under such an incredible time. Not only was that happening, but what an impossible situation. At least that's the way that it appeared. But may I say to you that I want you to know, you know, that nothing is impossible with God. Absolutely nothing is impossible with God. God is looking for those that would dare be willing to believe him. You know, that others would scoff at and mock, because they would look at the situation and say, you know, well, how delusional that you must be to believe that any of that would ever be able to change in any way. I want to encourage you mothers that you keep praying for your children. You keep praying for your grandchildren. You're praying for others' children. I want you to be encouraged. And sometimes you feel like, you know, my goodness, that there's just such an onslaught, especially in the day and hour that we live in, of such wickedness and such evil and such ungodliness. I mean, it's everywhere in all of the social media. How in the world do I combat all of this? Telephones and the such, you know, and then we've got the internet. You know, now, you know, we got it preached, oh, you know, your kids, they got to have their privacy. So we, you know, go ahead and get on that phone and do whatever you want, be on whatever you want. You don't monitor it in any way. You can't control it in any way. And they get exposed to things they shouldn't be exposed to. So you mothers, you rise up and you walk the line in the power of God. And, you know, and somebody, oh, well, you're just old-fashioned, or you just don't understand. I had one of my grandchildren say, now, Paw-Paw, now, Papa, you know that my generation, we're just smarter than your generation. And boy, did God give me the grace. I mean, because I really needed it at that particular point in time, right now, right? I really needed a lot of grace. I want you to know, when you get in a situation where you need a lot of grace, God will give it, okay? And so, you know, I just kind of shook my head, you know, at that particular point in time. You know, and then I think about myself, and you may not, you know, have been like me, but, you know, you think about in those early teenager years, and you think about just how grown up you are, right? Oh, my gosh, you know, man. You know, and how much you know, how dumb your mom and dad are, you know. Now, you can't make a living. You don't know how to make a living. You couldn't go out there and make a living. You don't know how to do anything. You depend upon your mom and dad totally and absolutely completely for every single thing that you got, but you're smarter than they are. It's just me now. You know, but I think back of some of the things, and I say, what was that dumb boy thinking? You know, what in the world was that dumb boy thinking, right? You know, I mean, I thought I was a man, right? You know, I didn't even have a clue what a man was, you know, at that particular point in time. You know, that's the one thing. You know, I want you to stand and stand strong. And I want to encourage you moms and okay, you grandmothers and the like. And not only that, but there's those of you that are called to be mothers after the Spirit of the living God. You know, I'll just tell you how this came upon me. And as this story right here, as I heard it in my spirit, I knew the story. I've read the story, but I hadn't read it for a while or anything. I couldn't have told you all of the details. The major details, yeah, I could have told you. But apart from that, I really couldn't. I didn't have any idea that the word called, the Lord called Deborah a mother in Israel. I heard Deborah, the mother of Israel. I heard it in my spirit. And I knew that's what God wanted me to deliver here today. And then here I begin to look at this and I thought, oh my gosh, I know that just blessed me. I'm just sharing a little bit of my own heart here. That just blessed me so much. You know how the Spirit of God will speak to you, and then you know, and then you run into it in the Word. And it's like, oh my goodness, glory to God! All right, real quick here, would you look at Judges chapter 5, and it, you know, it comes down here, and it says in verse 7, it says the peasantry, you know, ceased. They ceased in Israel until I. Look, did you see that? Now I'm going to tell you what happened right here. You know, there was such oppression that was going on at this particular time. You know, Sisera, he had no qualms. He had 900 steel or iron chariots, 900 of them. Now, they weren't wood chariots. Chariots were, you know, like a super weapon back in that day. They just mow you down all over the place, you know, a formidable enemy. He had 900 of them. And they were all made of iron. I mean, you want to talk about a situation that looked completely impossible, totally impossible. Not only that, but, you know, he made use of them. He made use of them. Then he had soldiers. You know, when I tell you soldiers, I'm not talking about just people that had arms. I'm talking about soldiers. They were trained warriors. And this was all that was against Israel and oppressing them and holding them captive at this particular point in time. But now, then go back to that verse 7 and the peasantry. Now, if you look up here, when you look at verse 2 in the 5th chapter, that the leaders led in Israel, that the people volunteered. Oh, glory to God. They volunteered. You know, you want you to see that that's who made up this army? This army that this woman, this prophetess said, rise up. This is the hour. This is the day. And you know why that was? Because she was a faithful woman. She was a faithful woman. And when you remain faithful, you put yourself in a position where you can hear the voice of God, that you can have an encouragement in your heart, that you can look out into that realm of that impossible. And you're in a position because you position yourself in a place where you can hear from the Lord. And that's what Deborah had done, that she was a faithful woman. You know, and not only that, but you understand that as they went on here, Barak, he was their leader at that time. Now, you know, you will see that he turns it all over to Deborah and says, Deborah, now if you're not going to go, I'm not going either, okay? You know, it's interesting, you'll find Barak, we call Hebrews 11, we call Hebrews, you know, the Hall of Fame of Faith. And I was looking, I knew Barak was there, and I looked it up. I thought maybe Deborah was there. She's not there. You know, but Barak is. He's listed in Hebrews chapter 11 as one of those that overcame by faith. I don't take anything away from Barak at all, but, you know, Deborah has her own fame. She has her own fame. You know, she was the one that was the backbone of everything that happened. You know, you may be the mom that is the backbone of your house. You may be the mom that is the backbone of what's right and the one that is accused of preaching all the time. Mom, keep it up. Keep it up. Don't stop the preaching. You just keep it up. You know, because you're planting seeds that one day are all going to come to harvest. I don't know. It may not be in your lifetime that you may see that. I don't know what will be there, you know, but I want you to know that your God is faithful, that he's not left you alone whatsoever. You may feel like that you're hanging out there. I bet you Deborah felt that a lot. I bet she felt that a lot as well, you know, because their oppression was for 20 years. 20 years they were under this oppression. Deborah's crying out all along. I don't know how old Deborah was in any form or fashion, but then God raised her up with a mother's heart, with a mother's heart. Not just, I don't know if she had children or how many children. It doesn't talk about that. But what this is referring to is talking about that God has designated her to be a mother in Israel. Know that she cried out with the woes and the problems and the difficulties and the promises of Almighty God and all that God had said that he would do, and that they weren't seeing anything like that taking place whatsoever. You may feel like that you, Mom, are preaching up against a brick wall. Keep on preaching. Keep on preaching, because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The brick wall is going to come tumbling down. That's what's going to happen. I don't know when it'll happen, but I know it'll happen as it did there. Now, Barak was the leader. He was the leader in all of this. But you know who his army was? Volunteers and the peasantry. That's it. Volunteers. Yeah, let me. I'll show you this as well. Come on over here. Look at verse 11. At verse 11, you can see it almost down to the end. I'm not going to read the whole verse. It says, the righteous deeds for his peasantry in Israel. But I want to tell you, there was something that they had. There was something that they had that Sisera didn't have, that the chariots didn't have. You see, all their faith and confidence was in the flesh. Their confidence was in the power of man. Their confidence was in their chariots. Their confidence was in their soldiers. But Deborah and Barak, who was their leader of the army of these peasants and these volunteers. And then there was another person called Jael. That's another woman. And these are the heroes of the whole story. It was these two women, these two unlikely people, that God put in a position because of the choices that they made and that they walked in, that God was able to speak through them and God was able to use them to muster up all the strength of the other ones and encourage them to come forth. And they came forth, and God himself brought the victory that no man could ever bring. And to you faithful ladies out there, I want you to know that this is your God that will bring victories to your house, bring victories to your home, bring victories to your children, bring victories to your grandchildren, bring victories to the legacy of your life, because you're leaving a legacy in the earth. My question to you would be, what kind of a legacy are you leaving? What kind of a legacy? You know, I'm going to tell you something. Let them gripe. Let them gripe, Mom. Let them gripe. Let them gripe all that they want. Let them not appreciate anything, everything, all things, whatever. You know, that's just a part of adolescence, isn't it? Right? You know, I mean, I was nothing more than a spoiled brat child, okay? My mom and dad didn't have anything. They were raised that way. And then my dad had a good job, all right? And my mother worked at S.W. Anderson's, never brought home probably one penny. Okay, because what those ladies could do is that they could buy clothes at a discount there at S.W. Anderson's. That's how we got clothes. That's how we got clothes. That's how the whole family got clothes. I bet you Mom didn't bring $5 home a paycheck, right? She was wearing it, and I was wearing it, and my brother was wearing it, and my dad was wearing it, and all that. Then I appreciate all of those sacrifices. No, I didn't. Let them gripe, Mom. Let them gripe. Let them gripe. The loved ones in your life, you keep telling them about Jesus. You keep telling them to love the Lord and all that. They act like a brick wall, not hearing a thing, not hearing a thing. Let them gripe, Mom. Let them gripe. You keep on investing in the legacy of the kingdom of God into your house and into your family. And you watch the walls of impossible come tumbling down. Because they will. I just wonder, you know, on how many fireballs of Almighty God are just right there waiting to come to the surface. They'll come to the surface in your home and in your family and in generations. Are you hearing me? On generations to come, because God does not forget. Oh, hallelujah. He's great and mighty and awesome. So glory to God, you know, volunteers right here, you know, and the peasantry. I want to come on down here and you can see just a little bit right here. Here is, I'm going to read verse 2 of the chapter 4. Look at verse 2 in chapter 4. It says, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who resided at Hazar. And the commander of the army was Sisera, who lived at Haroseth Hagoyim. And then it says in verse 3, and the sons of Israel cried to the Lord, for he had 900 iron chariots, and he oppressed the sons of Israel severely for 20 years. And then here's verse 4, and now Deborah, the prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. And it's an amazing, we've got these two ladies, the heroines of our story right here, two unlikely people. You know, they weren't soldiers. They weren't military strategists or any other thing. You know, they were women in Israel. But this was the ones that God used because they were willing. They were willing. They stayed faithful. And that's the two themes. There's two themes in all of this story. The first one is theme is with Deborah, and that she was a faithful mother of God. She was the faithful mother of God. She was faithful in the Lord. And that's why she could hear from God. And when the timing was right, and God makes that decision. When the timing was right, then God was going to move in faithfulness. And he brought a great victory. And there's another woman. It's not just Deborah, but it's Jael. It's Jael. Now, let me give you a list a little bit about this. And then this is the second theme. But come on down here in verse 11. And it says that now Heber, and this is the husband, this is the husband of Jael. And I'll get back to that that verse 4 in a minute. But and Heber, the Kenite, I don't want you to know that he was a Kenite, had separated himself from the Kenites. He was a Kenite, but he separated himself from the Kenites, from the sons of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses. I'm not going to tackle that. We know, like, well, Numbers says Jethro was the father-in-law of Moses. I'm not going to get into any of that right this time, but you can read it. You can see that's what it says. Now, look here. He separated himself. My gosh. You know, do you see who he separated himself from? He separated from those that were, have the, been of the house of Moses. But I got a sneaky suspicion that they weren't walking in the place where Moses had walked. And they were no longer of the heart. They were no longer of the spirit. They weren't that remnant spirit to believe God and to act in believing in God. See, this is what happens when you let the fire of God fill your heart and you walk with the Lord. You walk faithfully before the Lord. Not only you walk faithfully before the Lord and you're able to stay encouragement, and the encouragement comes from God, not circumstances. If your encouragement to stand and persevere comes from your circumstances, I can just about tell you how long you're going to stand. And it's not going to be very long. And you're going to be filled with discouragement constantly in your walk and in your life because you're being ruled by your senses. You're being ruled by what you feel. You're being ruled by what you think. You're not taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You're not walking where you need to be, walking in the realm of the Spirit. In the realm of the Spirit. Because in the realm of the Spirit is where you find the breakthrough in the realm of the natural. Well, so Heber, he made a decision. You know, that the word says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. He separated himself from everything that would be of a wrong influence, okay, against him. Even though that this was, had been those that were of the house of Moses. And, you know, what's the moral of the story in the midst of all of that? Well, it's you can't live off of name and reputation. You can't live off of past victories. You can't live off of past experiences. I'm not, you know, you experienced this and you experienced that, and glory to God that you experienced it. Hallelujah. That was part of the track and the walk and the journey that the Lord has you on. But guess what? It's now. It's today. We must be a people that go forward in God. You must be a believer that goes forward in God. You can't say, well, you know, we're just going to let the young people do it. Good Lord. That's someone confessing how burned out they are in Jesus. I'm going to have a fire till the day I go on be in glory with the Lord. You need to have a fire. And it doesn't come because you're young, right? Or anything like that, you know. It comes because it's the Spirit of the living God. That's where it comes from, okay? Even though our outer man may be decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. I'm getting younger in Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. So here they were. This was all part of the plan in the mind of Almighty God. You know, that because the Heber and his house didn't want to compromise or live in compromise or live in worldliness or wickedness or ungodliness. You know, this is the problem that's always been with the people of God, is they keep wanting to look like everybody else. That was the problem. They wanted the king, right? They wanted the king. God, you know, the Lord said, I'll be your king. Oh, no, Lord. Oh, no, we want a king like the nations because we want to be just like them. And this is the same thing that goes on in the church today. You know, is that the people that in the church, they don't want to live a different lifestyle. They don't want to live a godly lifestyle. They don't want to live a separated lifestyle. Oh, you know, we go to church and we love Jesus, but let's just be and live and be the way everybody else is in the world. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. We're to be a separate people. That's not snobbishness. That's not snobbishness. That's not looking down your nose at everybody. It's doing what the word of the Lord says to keep yourself separate for Him. Lest you be falling asleep when He passes you by with the answer, with the power and the glory to your prayer and the longings of your heart. And you're not awake enough to be able to see it and lay hold of it as these two women were and see the power of God manifested in the very way that you had been longing to see. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. This was all the part of the plan of Almighty God. Because you know what happened? Because when they moved to where God told them to move and then separated, and I'm sure it wasn't an easy deal to do. It wasn't an easy deal to do. I'm not going to hang out with wickedness and ungodliness. There's a difference between being a witness and where you hang out. Are you hearing me? There's a difference between where you hang out and being a witness. You be a witness of the love and the glory and the salvation to everyone that you meet and you come across. But what are your associations? Where do you get your camaraderie? Where do you get your fellowship? Because if it's in the world, the reason you get your fellowship there is because you're still in the world in your heart. And that's what you like. That's what you like. God's people can't take that. There's a jealous heart after God. Don't go telling me your dirty jokes. Hey, you know, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people, now you listen to this, okay? You understand when you're getting tested. You know, see, the wicked and the ungodly, they love to test those that make that confession of Jesus Christ. Oh, they love to do it. And they love to do it in a subtle way. And so one of the ways that they like to do is that they'll tell an off-color joke, right? An off-color joke. And they're staring straight at you when they tell it. And they are looking and watching for your reaction. Ain't no getting no smile out of me. You got the fear of man, or have you got the fear of God? You can't have both of them at the same time. Which one will you choose? Which one will you choose? Will you have the fear of man because you want their acceptance more? Or will you have the fear of God because you want his acceptance more? That's always before us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what happened? Well, there was a word that finally came. And here it is. I want you to see it. Wouldn't you come right over here? And this is, we're going to look right here in verse 6. Now she sent, this was Deborah. Now, about the faithfulness, wait a minute, go back up to verse 4. And now Deborah was a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth. Let me tell you about his house. Okay, well, you know, isn't it funny that they mention the two women are the heroes, but they give the names of their husbands, right? Heber, and he was of the house of Moses. He still had the fire of God in his heart for Moses and what Moses was and what their house was. And that's why they separated. And then here is Lapidoth. You know what that means in Hebrew? Burning torch. Burning torch. Lapidoth was a burning torch in an almighty God. And he had a wife. I'm sure she was a burning torch too. Jael. Yeah. So when they had the called out, here's what happened. The word of the Lord came. And now, why did I say about the faithfulness of Deborah? Here's verse 5. And she used to sit under the palm tree of Deborah. She sat there so much, they named the palm tree after her. Well, you know where she's at. Where is she at? She's down there at that palm tree. Hey, where can I find Deborah? I need a word from God. I need a decision from the Lord. Where in the world is Deborah at this time? Oh, you know where Deborah's at. She's down there at the palm tree, you know. And then eventually, they didn't even say that anymore. They eventually started saying, it was the palm of Deborah, you know. You know why? Because she was there all the time, you know. She was there all the time. Seeking the face of God for 20 years. Deborah, where's the Lord? Where's the Lord? Where's the promises of Almighty God? It was because their hearts weren't right. They weren't finding the power of God. You can see that. It's really quite something until they cried out to God. There's a pattern here that continues to go on. You know, they get deliverance from Almighty God because God hears their cries. Then they go back to their old ways because they got what they wanted from God, and they go back to their old ways. And then they get right back in the bondage again, all over again. And here they go. They start crying out. You know what blesses me so much? What blesses me so much is that every time they really cry out from the heart, God always faithfully moved on their behalf. Isn't that incredible? Whether they deserved it or not. Oh, how gracious and how good our God is. Because right now, in this day and hour, you and I are living in the age of grace. There's grace for you today, but one day there will be no more grace for you. There'll be no more grace for me. You know, when Jesus comes again, day of grace is gone. The reign of Jesus has now begun. And what condition will your heart be in? And not only that, but what does the word of the Lord say? The word of the Lord says that he's going to come like a thief in the night. When was that? Well, he's going to come like a thief in the night. He's going to come when you least expect it. Whew. That's sober to me. When I think that he's going to come when I least expect it, right? You know, I better stay on my toes. So, here's what you have is that faithfulness, this faithful woman, and this was Deborah. And then, you know, this is the theme of the story. And then the other one, okay, with Heber and Jael, is they kept themselves separate for the Lord. There's your two themes of these two women that God was able to raise up and put them in positions that no one would ever dream that they would ever be put into. But God was able to use them in a great and a mighty way. And she called forth, Deborah called forth, you know, and this is, here, look at this. If you look here in verse 6, and it, in chapter 4, now she went and summoned Barak, the son of Binoam, from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, behold, now look here, behold, the Lord, the God of Israel, has commanded, go and march on Mount Tabor, and take with you 10,000 men from the sons of Naphtali and from the sons of Zebulun. You know, and then it says in verse 7, and I will draw out for you Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his many soldiers to the river Kishon. And I will give him into your hand. This was the word that the Lord had given. And of course, then we know the story. Come on down. Verse 8 says, and then Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I'm not going either. How many of you, it's that fire of God that you can't let go of. You may not look at yourself as being a leader, but you are. Because God uses you to ignite the fire. I'm not talking about a boss. I'm not talking about church bosses. My gosh, I've dealt with enough church bosses to give me a lifetime and a belly full. And I don't need any more church bosses. We need leaders with the fire of God in their spirit, you know, that will be stand up and be counted for in the kingdom of God. And that's what God is looking for. And God will raise to the one that says, here I am, Lord. He will raise the one that says, and how unlikely, it doesn't matter if you got leadership qualities. That's what we do in the church, because we do everything by the flesh. We don't do it by the spirit. And that's why we're in the conditions that we are. Oh, well, you know, that's a prominent person, you know, in the community. Okay. He's a prominent person in the community. So let's make him a deacon. Let's make him an elder, because he's a prominent person in the community. You know, if he's got such leadership qualities in the world, good Lord, he'll be a great leader in our church. Start reading your Bible a little bit more. Goodness gracious. Unlikely leaders. We need unlikely leaders filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the fire of Almighty God. You know, it's not enough that you say, well, you know, I just don't have anything to give. Oh, no, I'm not really a leader, okay? You don't know what you are until the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, okay? When the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, he'll turn you into a person that you never dreamed you ever were. And he'll turn you into a commanding general in the kingdom of God if you let him. He really will. He really will. He really will. You know the story? So they went. And you know, and this is, I want to see this. Look here, verse 9. And she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, look at this. The honor shall not be yours on the journey that you are about to take for the Lord. Now, look at this. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hands of a woman. And she wasn't talking about herself. Do you get it? She saw the plan of God. She saw it. She knew already before it ever happened that it was going to be Jael. Because I'm sure she knew of Jael and Heber. She knew that they'd separated themselves, you know, from the house that had fallen asleep, and that they kept the fire of Almighty God going, even all of the adversity that they were experiencing in their life. And God showed her, well, okay, Barak, but there's not going to be any glory for you. The glory is going to go to a woman. And she wasn't talking about herself. That just amazes me. And how God had, she had seen what the plan of Almighty God was. Well, you're going to have, when God tells you to move and act, you move and you act. You don't wait to see. You move and you act. Then you'll see. He puts it in your spirit first, and you act in faith upon it. And then the God's power and hand and promise comes about. If you are waiting to see the evidence of it first and then you will act, you will never see it. You will never see it. They marched. Oh, you're kidding me. Against Sisera? And 900 iron chariots, trained soldiers, and the like? We don't have a chance. But they did. And they came to the place. It's called, this is in chapter 5, we're not going to turn to it, but it's called the Song of Deborah. It is their song of victory that God had given them. And they called the place the Torrents of Kishon. And they sing about the Torrents of Kishon. So as they march to meet 900 iron chariots, it looks like a slaughter. It looks like a slaughter. And then the heavens opened up. And a big storm came. And rains fell. Torrential rains fell and fell and fell and fell and fell. To where those great, big, powerful iron chariots got bogged down in the mud. And see, this was the confidence of all of Sisera's army, was the power that they had in the flesh and in their chariots. And now their chariots are gone. The fight goes on. They've lost their confidence. And yet the children of Israel, they didn't lose their confidence. Let me show you what was in them. Will you turn over to the 5th chapter real quick? And I'm going to look at the latter part of verse 15. It says, there were great resolves of heart. That's what was in the volunteers. That was what was in the peasants, was great resolve of heart. Look in the latter part of verse 16. In the latter part of verse 16, it says, there were great searchings of heart. That was what was going on the volunteers and the peasants. You know, another way you could sum that up? Another way you could sum that up is they had committed themselves wholeheartedly. Succeed or fail, we're trusting God. Succeed or fail, we're trusting God. And they put themselves out there in that spirit. And God's power came. That no one would ever suspect how God would ever do that. How are you going to defeat these 900 iron chariots, Lord? And God never told them, but God did it. Then he stationed a woman, Jael. Sisera flees for his life. He's no longer on that chariot. A big slaughter comes all to the army of Sisera. And he runs, and guess where he comes to? He comes to the tent of Jael. Because, you know, Jael was put out there where God told Heber to go. And sometimes it seems like a lonely spot. Sometimes it seems like, well, I can't figure out, you know, why God wants me to separate like that. You know, and sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's not understood. But you're not going to walk in compromise. You're not going to walk in a worldly spirit. You're not going to walk in wickedness. You're not going to be worldly. You're going to be godly. You're not going to be worldly. You're going to be godly. You don't care how much you're made fun of. You don't care how much you're misunderstood. I'm going to stand with my God. I'm going to stand with my God, and that's what I'm going to do. And that's what they did. Here comes Sisera. He comes to Jael. Jael, you know, if you read the story, she's waiting at the door of the tent. She's waiting at the door of the tent. Oh, come here, Sisera. Come on in here. And he did. Oh, he says, if anybody comes looking for me, now you'll please be sure and tell them that there's nobody here. You know, you be sure and tell them, you know. Oh, here, Cicero, you know, take your ease and your rest and relax. And can you give me some water? Could you give me some water? Oh, I'll give you water. And she brought water. Then she brought milk. And in the fifth chapter, it says that she brought it in a beautiful basin, the milk. And then not only did she bring him milk, but she brought him curds. And I mean, he just got relaxed all over the place, right? And she said, well, here, get under this carpet right here and let me cover you up, you know? And she covered him up. Oh, you know, he's nice and relaxed. He does not understand what is in the heart of this godly woman. Because he doesn't understand God. And you know what she did? She must have known the plan because she had a hammer and a tent peg right there. Now, can't you imagine here, if she didn't know the plan? Doggone it, where'd I put that hammer? You know? Where was that? I saw that tent peg somewhere. Where did I put that tent peg? She had him right there waiting on him. She had him right there waiting on him because she knew the plan of God too. Isn't that interesting? You got two people that heard from God and you saw a mighty work of Almighty God. One was faithful. One was faithful. And the other one was willing to separate themselves from the things that they needed to separate to be what God wanted them to be. And that's the two women that you got going on here in this whole thing. Nobody else but these two, because they were usable in the hands of the Lord. Sisera goes to sleep. Think of the boldness, the courage. Think of the heart. And she took that tent peg and she put that tent peg right down on his temple. She took up that hammer. She drove it right through his temple to where the tent peg went into the ground on the other side. So she didn't get up there, a little tender, you know, timid little thing. And she didn't do that, did she? And I'm going to close with this. I want you to see this. This is a part of that song of victory. It's the song of victory that was sung of what God brought through these two great people. And this here it is in the fifth chapter in verse 26. It says, she reached out her hand for the tent peg and her right hand for the workman's hammer. Then she struck Sisera. She smashed his head and she shattered and pierced his temple. And verse 27 says, between her feet, he bowed. He fell. He lay. Between her feet, he bowed. He fell. Where he bowed, there he fell dead. And God broke the power of the evil one that day and brought to the righteous a great victory. And this victory's been promised to every single one of us. Look at this, last place, last place. Come on, the same chapter. Now we're going to come on down into verse 31. Verse 31 says, in Judges 5, thus let all thy enemies perish, O Lord, but let those who love him be like the rising of the sun in its might. And the land was undisturbed for 40 years. Woo! Glory to God. What a victory. What a victory. Beatrice, why don't you come on here? Oh, I'm just blessed of God. I'm just thankful for all you godly women in the Lord that rise up and do so much for all of us. Go ahead and pass them out there, Beatrice, would you please? We're passing out anointed handkerchiefs here. As we even did it last year, we're doing it now again. Not out of rote, okay? Not out of rote, but out of obedience to the Lord. This is for every woman here. And then they will be up here. They will be up here. And if you want to take one to someone that you may be able to do that, they be available here. Now listen to me. We've anointed them with oil. There's been a season of prayer that's over them. Not only has there been a season of prayer, they've hands laid upon them. asking for the anointing of Almighty God. The anointing of Almighty God. Now I'm going to give you some instructions. Here's until that we have the day of Pentecost. There's going to be things that are going to be broken. Things that otherwise would never have ever been broken. And I want you to take your handkerchief. And if this so speaks to you, you do it. If it doesn't, I'll tell you what else to do. But here's what you do, ladies. First, you're going to speak this over yourself. And it's called release the anointing. This is what you say. Release the anointing. Release the anointing. I want you to take your handkerchief and you put it in your pillowcase. And every time you lay your head down, on that pillow, I want you to say, proclaim over yourself, Lord, release the anointing. Now, if you don't want to do that, don't do it. It don't speak to you. You take a prayer cloth and you take it in your hand and you say with it in your hand over yourself, because it's you first. It's you first. Release the anointing. Release the anointing. Release the anointing. I want you, now listen carefully. I want you to do that all this week. All this week. Release the anointing. Every night. Then starting next week, you're going to have the Spirit of God. They're going to put situations, persons, and people into your heart. And you're going to have that prayer cloth in your hand. And you're going to lift up their name. You're going to lift up that situation. And you're going to say, release the anointing. Are you hearing me? Okay? We need to be first what we need to be in God if we're going to have influence with God. Are you hearing me? And if we're not, we have no influence with God. That's why they lingered forever. Deborah stood in the gap for them, and God moved just out of a little handful of faithful people, a little bitty handful of faithful people that looked like that what in the world could ever could come about. But God did it. God did it. I'm going to pray in a minute. Would you ladies come? Okay. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, glory to God. We got any Deborahs in here?